up your Bibles if they're not. And I told you that this is not church. I keep you busy in here. And we want you flipping those Bibles, those Bible pages, and underlining. And I want you to have that be your new best friend, that Bible, one of your new best friends, where you know it and you're comfortable with it and you're familiar with it. Because it'll help you. It's life to you. And when your friends come to you and they say, I've seen such an incredible change in you. What have you been doing? And you say, I've been going to Bible school. And I've been reading. And I've been studying. And I've been reading my Bible. And it's so fabulous. And I say, well, will you pray for me? And you say, yes. And then you'll know what scriptures to turn to because you'll know where they are. All right. Now, we're going to go ahead and start tonight. The topic tonight is how faith comes. There are 3 points we're going to look at. Faith, number one, faith comes by hearing. Number two, faith does not come by praying. Number three, teaching drives out unbelief. And I want to start by reading a story to you. This is from Chambox. And it says, and the reason why I want to, I'm either going to read it or I'm going to paraphrase it. But a woman had heard about the healings that were going on under the tent that he had set up. He was doing crusades underneath this tent and praying for the sick, and the sick were getting healed. And a woman heard about that. And that is how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's going to be our main text for tonight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's in Romans, and we'll go to that in a minute. So let me go ahead and give you this story. We were setting up a tent in Sacramento, California, and getting ready for an afternoon service. A woman brought her child who had crossed eyes for prayer. I saw her weeping in the back, so I went to her and said, what is wrong? Oh, she said, I brought my daughter who had crossed eyes since birth. I came from San Francisco for a prayer card, but you aren't having a service. I've traveled hundreds of miles. What am I going to do? I knew if I could just get her under the tent, her eyes would be healed. I said, where is your daughter? The mother, sobbing, gestured to a little girl nearby. Here she is. I got down on my knees and looked at the little girl's face and saw two straight eyes. I said, are you sure this is your daughter? I ought to know my own daughter, she replied. I said, you told me she had crossed eyes. The mother got down on her knees and looked at her daughter's eyes. No one laid hands on the girl. She didn't have to get a prayer card. She grabbed that girl and started running around the tent. God had performed a miracle. When did God do it? God took her at her word. I heard her say, I knew if I could just get my daughter under that tent, I believe the moment she stepped inside that tent, the crossed eyes became straight because God honored her faith. Nobody had to lay hands on her. The woman had faith. She heard about the healing. And what was she doing? She was saying with the words of her mouth, if I just get her under the tent, she'll be healed. And so the second she got under that tent, God honored it. And her daughter was healed, and the eyes went straight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. She had heard some things about the healings that were going on there. And what she had heard had activated faith in her. Now go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And actually, I'm going to start a little further above that. And I'm going to start in verse 13. And this is going to tell us where faith comes from. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now verse 17, this is what I want to get to. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ is the one. This one says word of Christ. So in other words, faith comes by hearing, King James, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Each one of us were given a measure of faith when we were born again. You and I have been given the same measure of faith. One person was not given more faith than another, because then God would be unfair. We were all given the same measure of faith. Now, what we do with that faith is up to us. And it is up to us to develop that faith, or to grow that faith, increase that faith. And we do it by listening to the Word of God and by exercising faith, acting on it. How should we hear, and how are we supposed to believe? Well, by somebody being sent. But what are they sent to do? They're sent to tell people the Word of God. And why do they need to tell people the Word of God? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So somebody has got to hear the gospel preached so that they can be saved through faith. And the same goes for everything else that we do by faith. We need to hear the Word of God ministered, and every time we hear the Word of God ministered, it's growing our faith. So you can look at somebody and say, well, they have great faith. Well, God's not unjust. God didn't just dish out a big measure of faith to them. We've all been given the same amount of faith. So what that means is it's our responsibility to then develop and grow that faith. Let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 27. So remember that. You're going to want to memorize that for your test. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's a little key I'm giving you right there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Mark chapter 5, verse 27. And we're going to look at the woman with the issue of blood. At least that's what King James says. The woman with the issue of blood. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much, I'm starting in verse 25, and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. Here's where faith comes, right? After hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, and actually a better translation of that is either King James or Amplified, which says, King James says, she said, and the Amplified says, she kept saying, and it is in quotes in my Bible, if I just touch his garment, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, there are a couple interesting things that we can see in this. Number one is that she had to hear about Jesus in verse 27, because it was after she heard about Jesus that she went to pursue him. So hearing about Jesus, and what do you think she was hearing as she was traveling around through those cities? She was hearing that Jesus was healing people, and she needed to be healed. Faith comes by hearing, and she was hearing the accounts and the reports of the healings that were going on by Jesus, and it activated faith in her. So at that point, she decided she was going after Jesus. And she touched his cloak. And she said, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. Again, we see just like what happened in Sandbox 10. Somebody decided that there was going to be a point where they were going to release their faith. And her point for her was when she got to Jesus and she touched his garments, his cloak. what's interesting about this is that Jesus said, "Who touched me?" So it's not as though he was exactly praying for her, was he? No, it was her faith. All she did was make contact with him. "As soon as I touch his garment, I will be healed." That was her faith. Her faith activated the power of God without Jesus even knowing who had touched him. Now, notice this also. It says, the disciples say, "How can you ask who touched you when there's all these people pressing in on you?" He was in a crowd. There were probably lots of people touching him, because if had there only been one, he would have known who the one was. There were lots of people touching Jesus, lots of people pressing in on him. He was in the middle of a crowd. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" So it's not as though he was exactly praying for her, was he? No, it was her faith. All she did was make contact with him. "As soon as I touch his garment, I will be healed." That was her faith. Her faith activated the power of God without Jesus even knowing who had touched him. Now, notice this also. It says, the disciples say, "How can you ask who touched you when there's all these people pressing in on you?" He was in a crowd. There were probably lots of people touching him, because if had there only been one, he would have known who the one was. There were lots of people touching Jesus, lots of people pressing in on him. He was in the middle of a crowd. But we don't have an account of lots of people being healed right here. What we have an account of was one woman with faith who had said, "If I can just get to touch his garment, I'll be healed." And when she got to his garment and she touched him, she was made whole. She was healed. And what he says to her is, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." In other words, it was her faith. Yes, he felt power go out of him. He felt virtue go out of him. But he did not pray for her. That was her faith coming in contact with the power of God. And where does her faith come from? She'd been hearing. She'd been hearing about Jesus. Now, he doesn't say, "Well, I'm going to take mercy on you. Today's the day that it's my special day for mercy, and I'm handing out mercy healings today." He didn't say, "Well, you've gone through all your money, and you've been to all the doctors, you've done all that you know to do, so I'm just going to go ahead and heal you." That's not what happened here. What happened here is she came to him in faith, and she received as she came in faith. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about faith. What is faith? And how does faith come? Now, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, because I want you to see something different. He said that her faith had made her well. So did her faith have something to do with it? Absolutely. Matthew chapter 17. God healed me of several things. When we lived in Burlingame, before we had gone to Bible school ourselves, I had something, and I'd never been diagnosed by a doctor, but if I was going to guess what it was, I would probably say it was chronic fatigue syndrome. It was just feeling extremely tired all the time. And I was very, very tired. And I was praying, and I was wanting God to heal me, and so I was going through the gospel accounts of the healings. Now, this was on my own, and I was in a church that didn't really teach very much on faith, didn't really understand about healing. They just thought sometimes God would and sometimes he wouldn't, and they didn't really know why, and that's just the way they thought it was. But somebody had given me a little mini book by T.L. Osborne about 101 Reasons Why God Heals, and I'd read that, and it was starting to charge up my faith. And as I read through the Gospels, I kept noticing how many of the healing accounts mentioned something about the individual's faith. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So what I realized is I needed more faith to get healed. But I didn't have anybody at that time to teach me, and I didn't know how faith came. So I just kept reading the Bible myself, and I came across this passage. And in here, we'll read it, but it says that it talks about prayer and fasting. And so I thought, well, maybe that's what it is. I just needed to pray more for faith. So I prayed, and 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 then I prayed, and 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 I prayed for more faith. But it didn't necessarily come, and I didn't get healed. But God was merciful, and God sent me somewhere where someone could teach me how faith came. Because I knew I needed more faith, because I kept reading so many accounts. Jesus was would mention something about the individual's faith. So I knew that was a key, but by myself, I didn't have all the keys. God led me to Lama, where then Brother Hagin started teaching, and I still remember it so clear. That first day I sat in the very first class, and he taught on the woman with the issue of blood, and on Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 24, and 25, about speaking to the mountain and believing that you have it before. And then I saw what faith really was, and that I had to believe I had it before I saw it. And I got it, and the light bulb went on, and I got healed. Now, in that, it wasn't an instant healing like the curvature of the spine. It wasn't instant. I had to believe God, and I stood in faith, and gradually, over a period of time, it continued to increase until it wasn't a problem anymore. It was at that point that I got it. Now, on my own, I've been turning to scriptures, and for some reason, I don't know if I read it and I just read over it, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but somehow I passed right over that one, and on my own, I didn't see it. And I came to this one, and it threw me off. And so I want to show you about this verse so that you will understand this if somebody brings it up to you. The disciples and Jesus are talking, and the disciples tried to cast the spirit out of someone, and they couldn't get it to come out. And so they're going to Jesus and they're questioning him and wanting to know why it didn't come out. And Jesus says to them in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. Okay, so there's the answer right there. They kept reading. But truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. All of that is fine. And then there's verse 21. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. If somebody didn't know better, they could think that the way you get more faith is by prayer and fasting. That's actually not so. And if you look down at the bottom of your Bible, you may have a little footnote, I do in mine, that says many manuscripts do not contain this verse. So do you notice that verse 21 is in parentheses right there? Is verse 21 in parentheses in your Bible? Some of you are saying no, some of you are saying yes. That verse is not in many of the manuscripts. So it's possible that scribes either added it or took it out. But what I want you to get from that is that that is not the way that faith comes. It does not come, I noticed by experience, it does not come by praying for it, and it does not come by fasting. You can get a lot of good things done in prayer, and I'm a big fan of prayer. Praying is wonderful, but that is not how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So don't let this verse throw you off, and you may have somebody come to you one time and say, well, but what about this? And they'll let you know that I wouldn't put a lot of weight on that because it's in parentheses and it's not in a lot of the manuscripts. Okay? All right. So how does faith come? That's right, by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So we know that we don't want to pray for faith. If we need to grow in faith, what we want to do is get ourselves in a place where we can be listening to as much of the Word of God as possible. And actually, if you study that word out, it's not just hearing, but it's the report of the Word of God. So it could be you could be reading. It could be you could be hearing. It's the report of the Word of God, right? Because a lot of times, not everybody had a Bible back then. They were going around, they were telling each other what the Word said, telling each other about the stories. So it's by the report of the Lord. What we want to do is get ourselves into a situation like you are here in the Bible school. I mean, I'm fully convinced that you will grow in faith because of the amount of the Word of God that you are going to be putting into your heart by the teaching time and also by the amount of time that you will spend reading. You are going to be diving into the Word of God. And I've had the fabulous opportunity to watch the last graduating class, and I felt like they just skyrocketed. I mean, it was amazing how much they seemed to have grown. Why? Because they were just putting themselves into that much of the Word of God that they were growing. Let's go ahead and look at point number three. We've looked at number one. Number one is that faith comes by hearing. Number two, faith does not come by praying. It's important for you to know that. There's no point in praying for it. It won't work. It just doesn't work, so you shouldn't bother doing it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Number three, ceasing drives out unbelief. Let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 6. And I want you to see this account about Jesus. Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Now this is talking about Jesus, and Jesus went to his own hometown. And his disciples followed him there. And let's go ahead and start reading a little sooner than I'm going to read verse 2. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands." Then, verse 3, "Wait a second," they basically say. "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. So he's in his own hometown, and they took offense. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household." Now verse 5, now we're getting to what I want you to see, verse 5. "And he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them." Now, it doesn't say that he just decided not to do a miracle there. It actually says he could do no miracle there. In other words, see, a lot of times people think that Jesus could do anything and Jesus could, but he worked in conjunction with people. And because the people did not have faith in him there, he was limited by their faith. Yes, he was 100% God. But God also works with us, and God works with us based on our faith. So he was limited, and he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people. You know, it'd be like a cold or something, real minor ailment. Real minor ailments he could do something about, and he healed them. Now, verse 6, now this shows us why. "And he wondered at their unbelief." So that tells us why he couldn't do miracles there, because of the unbelief. Now, what did he do about that unbelief? "And he was going around the villages teaching." Now, why did he go around to teach? He went around to teach because teaching drives out unbelief. So that's what he was doing. He was trying to help the people, and the best way he could help them was to teach so that that unbelief could be driven out, so that they could hear the word of God. Because how did he just say faith comes? That's right. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, then him ministering the word of God would drive out the unbelief, and that's what teaching does. He was working to drive out the unbelief. It's very interesting. Yes, Jesus, 100% God, and yet he was limited by what people believed. So a lot of times people think, "Well, if Jesus was just here on earth today, I'd be healed." But that's not necessarily the case. Just because Jesus appeared, because the reality is the presence of the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And if they believe, they'd be healed right now. Jesus doesn't have to be here. The Holy Spirit is here. Jesus has already done the work. If they just believe in it, then they can receive of that healing power. Jesus doesn't have to be here. Okay, now let's turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. We've read this before, but we're going to get real familiar with this, get real familiar with the scripture in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and also this one, verse 22, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. Or we could say it this way, have the God kind of faith. Have the kind of faith that God has. Now, it's going to tell us, what is the kind of faith that God has? And I mean, if we're supposed to have the kind of faith that God has, then we should know what that kind of faith is. And in verse 23, it says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you." What? what that is saying is it is saying that you need to believe it before you see it. Because it's when you come to the point that you believe it that it's granted. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are not to go by the sense realm. When we pray something, we're to pray based on Scripture, because Scripture is the foundation for our faith, because faith is based on the Word of God. The Word of God is basically the platform for everything we believe for. I remember somebody, when we were teaching on this, they said, oh, okay, then I'm going to pray that I turn into a tiger. Being silly, of course, you know. But, you know, and they were just being silly with the Word of God. But there, nowhere in the Word of God does it say you can turn into a tiger. So there's no platform for that. It's not based on Scripture. So to use your faith has got to be based on the Word of God. So healing, if somebody needed healing, what would we do? We'd want to look up at least two verses on healing. For instance, like himself bore my infirmities and carried away my diseases. By his stripes I was healed. So you'd want to go look those two up, get those memorized, get them into your spirit where they minister life to you. And we know this, that everything is established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's another scripture. And that's how we know we're rightly dividing the Word of God. We don't want to pull something out of context. And we want at least two scriptures to base everything on. So, by his stripes, you were healed, past tense. That's in Isaiah, and it's also in Matthew. By his stripes, you were healed, and himself bore my infirmities and carried away my diseases. That's the one in Matthew and Isaiah. By his stripes, you were healed, is in Peter. So, anyway, so basically, by those scriptures, then, you've got a foundation or a platform to stand on. You can stand on that word, and you can say, Father, this is a promise you made to me. Therefore, now I'm going to pray for my healing, and I'm going to believe I have my healing, and I'm going to speak to my body. And I'm going to tell my body to line up with the Word of God. How can you do that? You can have faith because you're basing it on God's Word. He gave you a promise. He gave you several promises. And based on his promise, then, you stand on those scriptures, and you go to God, and you declare his truth over your body. This is the way that it is. And you can speak to your body just the way he said you can speak to the mountain. Because if we can tell a mountain to be taken up and cast into the sea, we can also speak to our own physical body. Why? Because we're speaking in line with the Word of God. Sickness is a curse. God doesn't want you to be sick or me to be sick. Healing is a blessing. And Jesus took the curses on the cross. He took poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. And we see that in Galatians. In Galatians, he took poverty, sickness, and spiritual death so that we could have eternal life and we could be healthy and we could be financially content and have enough to be a blessing to others. But the way that we receive the word is by believing it and then applying it. See, because there are a lot of Christians walking around that aren't necessarily prospering financially, aren't necessarily healthy. Why? Because they don't know the Word of God. For you to receive the promises of God, you need to know what the promises are. You know, have you ever heard about somebody being left a fortune and not even knowing it? He knew he was going to go back and be with his father. And he knew the rest of us were going to be here and we're going to walk on this earth after he had already gone up to be with the father. And he was ever so kind enough to leave this love letter for us. Believe these promises so that we could know his word, so that we could be healthy, so that we could understand what to do in different situations, so that we could learn how to be led, so that we could know what decisions to make. A love letter. And he left it for us. Precious. If you were going to leave somebody that you really, really love, wouldn't you want to leave just really good wisdom and guidance for them so that they would know how to walk and what to do? And we want them to know all the promises, everything that Jesus did for us on the cross, all the promises that were laid up for us. He wants us to know them, and they're in here. But they're in here for us to search out, for us to partake of these blessings. We need to know what they are, and then we need to be believing them and applying them to our life. Because I can tell you this, they are not automatic. I will also tell you this, I sure wish they were, but they are not automatic. They do not automatically happen. God's will does not automatically come to pass. His will does not come to pass automatically, because it's His will that no man should perish, that all would come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yet we know that some men die and go to hell. Is that His will? No. It's not His will that some men die and go to hell. And yet, does it happen? Yes. Because they don't know about Him. They haven't received Him. So God's will is not necessarily always coming to pass on this earth, because there's a devil. And I've heard people say, well, you know, what about the starving kids in India? Well, yeah. That's not necessarily God's will. Hurricanes aren't necessarily God's will. God doesn't cause destruction. Somebody may lose the protection of God, and the devil may come in to destroy, but God does not cause destruction. So a lot of the things that we see happen on this earth are not God's will. But we need to find out what's in here for us, so that we can live a successful life, a healthy life, and be blessed and receive those blessings. And that's what we're doing by being in here. That's what we're doing by studying. We're saying, okay, this is important enough to me that I'm willing to take time out of my schedule. I'm willing to take nights to study the Word, to find out what the Word says. In Deuteronomy, it talks about the blessings and the curses. Blessings for obeying the Word of God and curses for not obeying. But we know in Galatians that it tells us that Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Sickness is a curse, but Jesus Christ took those curses so that we wouldn't have to have them, so that we could be blessed and walk in those blessings. But we need to study it to know that, because there are a lot of Christians who are walking around that don't know they have a right to be healthy, that don't know what Jesus did for them on the cross. But see, we can tell them. We can tell them. And we can sit here and we can grow in faith and get stronger and stronger in faith, so that we would be a light that will draw people to us for the glory of God, that we can tell them about the goodness of Jesus Christ, and we can lead them into saving knowledge of Jesus, and we can pray for them to be healed and witness it. What a blessing, what a joy we have. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith does not come by praying. Teaching drives out unbelief. So what we want to do is keep getting more and more of the Word of God into us, so that that faith can grow. And just like Smith Wigglesworth did, he was not interested in just feeding his body, but he was interested in feeding his spirit man. And I think when we get to the point that we value our spirit man as much or more than our body, we will start seeing some major changes in our life. And I think we'll be happy with those changes, because the real us is a spirit being. I mean, all your bodies are really, really precious, but they are not going with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can feed it, and you can take care of it, and you can exercise it, and these are all very, very good disciplines. Yet, still, the body will not go with you. Your spirit is going to heaven after you have a long life and you're satisfied. So what is the most important part of you? The spirit. And when somebody's got a strong spirit, it usually shows on their face anyway, and it shows because they just glow when the spirit's strong. It shows in their countenance. Shows in joy. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we went over how to stir yourselves up. And so you all know that. Yeah? All right. Amen.